Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Open up your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. We're going to read a couple of verses of scripture here on Joshua, chapter 4. The message is called, go ahead and put it up there, Mr. Roderick. Remember your monument. Remember your monument. And hopefully that will mean something to you by the end of the night. Joshua chapter 4, we're going to start with verse number 1, which reads, "And it came to pass when all the people were cleaned, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take your 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." Verse 4, "Then Joshua called the 12 men who he had prepared for the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon this shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Then this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" Now I want you to skip on over to verse 19, same chapter, which states, "And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to bring your word here tonight. We thank you for all the hearts and minds that are here tonight. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, that this word will not return void, and that we'll leave here, Lord, knowing more of you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have the story of Joshua. Let's do a little background on Joshua. If you go back to chapter 3. Now, most of you who've been saved long enough, read the Bible long enough, even watched the Ten Commandments, which is on every year during Easter time for the Jewish folks. Okay, you know the story that Moses brought the children out of Israel. And because of disobedience, they ended up being in the wilderness for 40 years, running around in circles. It came time for Moses to die. It came time for the baton to be passed over to the next person, the next leader, the next one who would take the children of Israel to where God promised them to be. That man ended up being Joshua. So, at the point after Joshua took over, there was a point in the Bible where it states in chapter 3 that now that the children of Israel have experienced their own Red Sea experience or Red Sea crossing, now it comes to the new generation, a new batch of people, a new group of people to have their own, shall we say, a Red Sea experience. So in chapter 3, you would read how God instructed Joshua after encouraging him for a while, telling him, "You are my man. You are the man who are equipped, and you will be able to do this." Now I'm paraphrasing. So again, just bear with me. I'm paraphrasing what the Bible says, a little bit of Gonzoism, if you will. So God calls Joshua, and then he now has been instructed to cross over to the Jordan River. So God tells Joshua specific instructions to tell the men who are carrying the ark to do something specific, to carry it over their shoulder. And as they walk into the Red Jordan, the waters would part. And as they part, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant would have to stand at a specific spot and would stay there so that all the people could cross on dry ground. Now, this is another great miracle that we see. Now, imagine if you were somebody who was raised during that time. Imagine if maybe you were a child in that time where you heard the stories of how dad or grandfather crossed the Red Jordan, how God did great miracles, how God did that and God did this, and now I get to experience this. A little bit different, but regardless, nevertheless, a miracle. Now I get to see it. Now I get to feel it. Now I get to know what God is all about. So after they cross, Joshua gives specific instructions to one man from each tribe. "I want you to pick up a stone over your shoulder. And I want you to set it on that spot where the ark is at. Now keep in mind, see the Jordan is still parted, still dry ground. If you look at that, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, now Israel was now on the other side of the Jordan in the promised land. Now listen to this. But what is the life in the promised land like? Is it one glorious vacation time after another? Now remember, you know, they just went through 40 years of going around in circles, and now they're getting ready to go to the promised land. They're getting ready to, okay, now we've heard all the stories. Now we've heard all the promises. We're getting ready to, enjoy our vacation, enjoy our resort, enjoy a little spa. That is not exactly what God was trying to tell you or trying to tell them, okay? No, for Israel, it was a place of battle, but most of all, it was a place of trust. They knew they had to trust God with everything they had because the challenges only got bigger in the promised land. But so was the blessings. So, like I said, Joshua told these men to take the 12 stones. Okay, each tribe was to send a representative to take a stone, undoubtedly a large one, from every river, from the riverbed where Israel had crossed over, so the stones could be set up as a memorial. As a memorial. For what? For a sign. Remember, the first verse that we looked at said, so this will be a sign. For who? For your children. Not grandma, she gone. Not daddy, he's too old, too blind, he don't even know where he's at. For your children. We're going to get to that in a moment. Now, I might as well just go ahead and get ahead of myself a little bit, okay? Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Joshua also set up a pile of memorial stones in the very bed of the river Jordan, so that when it was lowered in a season of drought, those stones could be seen. Now, it also says, now, imagine this. I might as well get to that part. I'm going all over the place. Roderick, try to follow up. This is for a memorial, okay? These stones are for a memorial. Now, if you ever traveled and been around the country, if you went to Washington, why do we build memorials for? What is the sole purpose of memorials? Of building a monument, if you will. Now, this country is well known for several monuments. We have the Statue of Liberty. If you go to Washington, D.C., we have several monuments there that were built. Why were these monuments built? I'm glad you asked. Okay, monuments are usually also designed to convey historical or political information. If you lived in Russia, which most of you probably never did, but if you studied history, you remember that Russia had many monuments built for Lenin, many monuments, statues built for the communist country so they would know who Lenin was. They also built many other monuments for other leaders who built the communist country. And let's go a little bit further into today's century, if you will. If you remember the Iraq, when Iraq fell and they took over, or that's actually they overthrew Saddam Hussein, you notice on TV how they had big monuments erected of him. They were toppled down. So monuments were built for us to see, okay? For us to realize the past, the present, and possibly the future. Now, bear with me on this. Bear with me on this. You see, let's look at what the definition of monument means, okay? If I can find it or read it, we're crying out loud, because I have glasses and they're not the proper, shall we say, prescription. The origin of the word monument comes from the Latin moneo, monere, which means to rewind, to advise, or to warn. Suggesting a monument also is to see the past through helping us visualize what is to come in the future. What is to come in the future? I'm just going to get to the meat of it. There's so much going through my brain. I feel like Pastor says, a termite inside a yo-yo. Try to follow up, Roderick. Remember, these are stones that were picked up. Joshua said, pick up stones. For why? What was the reason? Because one day, a child is going to come to you and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? God has given us, I don't want to say a mandate, but a responsibility to build monuments. And those monuments happen to be children. Notice I didn't say our children, because there's folks who do not have children. Okay? For whatever reason. But God has given us a responsibility to build monuments in children. Okay? Try to follow with me now. Okay. So here we have Joshua. All right, I want you to pick up 12 stones. All right? And set it up. Remember, the first verses that we read says, so this will be a sign for when your children look at it and say, what does this mean? Interesting observation. Interesting question. This was not the first time this was brought up in the Bible. This was not the first time this question was put upon the children of Israel of when your children ask. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back where Moses was alive. Let's go back and see what God told Moses to do. If you go back to Exodus chapter 4, verse 26, verses 26 through 27 says this, and when your children ask, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelite in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. Here, God is trying to tell Moses to tell the children, okay, when we celebrate Passover, do you remember what God told us to do? To take blood of a lamb, put it over a door, because the angel was coming down and was going to take the firstborn of every family. Okay? Do you remember that? Yes, I remember that. Well, guess what? This is the reason why we did that. So you realize what God has done, what he took us from. You see, so this is the first time that we see God telling them, when your children ask, what does this mean? God has instructed us to tell them to take a rock, to take another stone, and put it on there and tell them, this is the reason why God did this. This is the reason why this was built, so that you know what God has done. You see, it's so easy for us to forget sometimes what God does in our lives. Yes, God gives us victories. Yes, God gives us high victories. But sometimes we get down in the valley. And sometimes we get in the mully grubs. Sometimes we kick the can. Sometimes we want to complain. And we think God has left us. We think God is not listening. But guess what? During those times, we also have little eyes looking at us to see how we're going to act. How are we going to react? Okay, they see us when they're in the mountains. They see us when we're in victories, but they also see us when we're in our lowest of the lowest, and they're also seeing how we're going to act. And sometimes when we get in those situations, we forget what God has done. We forget the stones that we've set up, that we built, because every time that you tell a child something that God has done, you're building that monument. You're putting another stone on top of that, because one day that when that monument is built up, all the stones are in place, one day that child's going to take himself out of your presence, out of your life for whatever reason, whether God directs them a certain way or whether they choose to go on their own way. And the only thing we have to stand on is that monument, is those stones that we have set up in their hearts. And we got to stand on the word of God. So when they do get astray, when they do their own thing, we know that God has built the monument. For what? So people can see what God's all about. Comprende déjà vu? Another place. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. When your sons ask you in times to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your sons, we have slaves. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with mighty hand. And the Lord shall show signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out of there, and then he might bring us in to give us the land in which he swore our fathers. Remember, these were statements made when Moses was alive. Those were statements made to that generation that Moses was under. Now we head on over to Joshua, and Joshua has been basically told to do the same thing. Now when your generation comes and they see this, let them see it as a sign what God has done. We just crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Notice this. So when you see this, you'll know exactly what to tell them. And other signs and wonders of God. Amen. The purpose of this memorial was so that the people of Israel could teach the children about the great things of God had done, so that the works of God would not be forgotten among the generations. There was an important purpose for their children, so that would have a point of contact with God, with God's work in the past, and remember that God's work did not begin with them and their time. I guess we got to our first slide now. The parents is the most natural, most powerful instructor in the ways of God. That parent is the natural and most powerful instructor in the ways of God. Remember what Joshua said? Remember, when your children ask your fathers, it didn't say when the children asked the Sunday school teacher, it didn't say when the children asked the preacher, which is okay to ask questions to those individuals, but nowhere in the Bible does it say raise the child in the way of the Sunday school teacher says. Okay, I believe they were talking to the parents that we're supposed to raise the child in the way they should go. Again, those people are there, and God placed those people in there for it to emphasize and to strengthen what we are supposed to be putting in there. You see, it's our job to set up that monument. It's our job to build the monument. It's our job to set these stones in place. The other folks that I mentioned are there just to emphasize and reinforce what we as parents are supposed to be doing. Now, don't take that as a condemnation. We all have made mistakes. I'm a parent. I have four, and I've made plenty of mistakes. Are my kids living the way they should? Half the time, they do not. Half the time, they do not act the way they act. But I know that I've done some things right because I know this because of what they do or how they act or sometimes when they ask for certain things or certain advice. I know. Let me tell you something. I don't know. I don't care how far my children get away. I know they can't get away too far. Okay? Because I can't speak for your child, but I can speak for my firstborn since the time that he was in the womb. Okay? All he heard was praise music. All he heard was encouragement. All he heard was God stuff, if you will. And if he decides to not live for God till the day I die, that's going to be his choice. But I know that he, no matter where he goes, he can go hide in the anywhere he wants. He can go to Africa and go hide with the bush people. It don't make no difference. God is still in there, and he cannot run away from what God has put in his heart. One day, eventually, he's going to have to return. He has no choice. He might as well just surrender. The memorial stones further proclaim the duty of parental instruction in God's mercies. They speak of a time when tradition was the vehicle of history, when books were rare and monuments were relied upon to awaken curiosity, when a father's words would justify. See, back in the day, I had never had this experience. My grandfathers both died. Well, one of them died before I was born. The other one died, but I didn't get a chance to spend time with him. But I never had that luxury that some of you might have had, sitting in the porch, listening to stories of my grandfather or grandmother. Ooh, she had some stories. But grandfather, tell me stories about the good old days, how they did this and how they did that and how they built this and how they built that. I never had that luxury. Back in the day, that's all you had. The only way that you can pass out heritage, the only way that you could pass out, famous recipes, ladies, was that the lady, the grandma or the mother would pass down those things to the daughter or the son or the father passed those things to the son. That was the only way. There was no books. There was no internet. There was no TV. There was no way to go to the library to check a book out or nothing. There was no pictures, no magazines to look at. That was the way it was done. And here God is telling us this is the way it should be done. We need to take the things of God that he's given us and impart them to our children, okay? So they will know what God is all about. Today's children, today's generation, I call them the millennials. That's what I call them. And my daughter always wants to correct me, so no, I call them the millennials. They've never been raised the way some of us were raised. They're so easily accessed to all these crazy things that they have access to. And it's so easy to just let them rely on the social media to know about God. I can know about God in three different ways just by looking at social media. But that doesn't really matter. That doesn't really count. What counts is what comes out of our mouth. To speak to them what the Word of God says. That's what they need to do. That's why we got so many kids all confused. They don't know if they're male, female, up or down, in and out. It's because we, as parents, as adults, have not told them what the Word of God says about certain things. They want to rely on social media. They want to rely on some other preacher that might not have these things backwards, or just wants to say what sounds good to them, make sure that everybody keeps attending the church. All I know is this: if I take what this word says and impart it to the children, to my children, or to any children, I know that I'm building a monument so one day they grow up, they make decisions for themselves, and they'll know what to do. We got too many adults nowadays because they had nobody to tell them. They had no way of knowing what to do, how to make decisions, where to turn. We often fail in our trust of God because we forget the great things He has done. And often the faith of our children is weak because they have never been told how great God is and how real His working is in our lives. We all are guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. One of the things that we should do, I've heard of families having tradition and having things that they do together and so on and so forth. And one of the things that I even failed to do as a parent is, after a good church service, is to talk about it. What did you see? What do you experience? I remember when the kids were little and we had one of those crazy services and people were just, just going nuts and hair was flying and people were dancing and people were falling and running and everything else. I would tell them, do you see what happened today? Do you know what that is? As the Holy Spirit, that's God moving. So that when they see it again, they don't go crazy or they think we're crazy or they think that can't be of God. No, that is God. These are stones that we have to set up so that way the monument is built properly. And some of you may ask, okay, well, you know, what am I supposed to say to my kids? Well, the Bible's full of things that you can tell your kids. It really is. I'll give you a couple for free. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. These are stones. These are stones. Okay? Sometimes we want to take the wrong stones. Listen to me. Barney was great, but Barney can't get you to heaven. Dora was awesome. I like Dora. She's one of my kind, if you know what I mean. She ain't going to teach you how to praise and worship. It is pretty sad when our kids know more about Dora and Barney and all those things than they know what God is all about. There is a problem when our kids, if the Spirit is moving and God is, and people are speaking in tongues and God is moving and the kids are going, oh my God, they're drunk. They're crazy. Why is that? Because we haven't put the right stone in place. We haven't told them what God is all about. Yes, God is a God of mercy and God of grace. Yes, God is the one who saves you and can take you to heaven. But it's more than that. It's a lot more than that. Yes, there's some rules and regulations that are in this Bible that we're supposed to follow. But they're not they're not just rules. If I love somebody, I want to do whatever it takes so that I can please them. I don't love my wife because the paper says that I shall love thy wife because of marriage license says. No, that's not why I love my wife. I love my wife because I love my wife. And that's plain and simple. And I mean, if I love her the right way, she'll show me the same reciprocal love. The same thing is with God. They got to know what God is all about. One of the things that really irked me growing up is, don't sit there and tell me to go to church when you don't go yourself. I love my grandma, and she wanted me to make sure that I had some kind of monument built. Of course, my monument was started building a little crooked, okay, because she would tell me, go to church, okay, me being a Latino son, knew better than to, you know, rise up against a Latino mother or grandma. But one day, I reached a certain age, and hormones kicked in, and I did the unthinkable. I talked back and says, why should I? You don't go. She didn't have nothing to come back after that. But it was the truth. You're telling me to do something, but you ain't doing it yourself. Ain't no different if you go into work and your boss tells you, I want you to do that, but the boss ain't doing it himself. What's up with that? And yet we want our kids to serve God. Where a monument is not fully built. It's supposed to be 12 stones. We're using the wrong stones, maybe. Oh, this is the famous one. Train up the child the way it should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. These are just little nuggets. These are just little stones that you could be throwing. Not necessarily throwing them. Yeah, trust me, I've attempted to throw a couple of stones on children. Yes, I have. But these are some stones that you want to build on a child's heart so that we can build the monument that God wants us to make. You got to understand. And I got to say this every day. Think of it. Pray. Because of my son, okay? Most of you know the story. We got two biological and two adopted, okay? And the joke in our house is, if all of us went out together, everybody would think that my middle daughter is the one who's adopted. Because everybody else looks like Melissa. Ariana's the only one who looks like me. Everybody else has got blue eyes and blonde hair. Aaron's got brown eyes, but he's got a very light skin. But our middle son, okay, he's at that age. Yes, 14, 15. Okay, 13. I don't even know. I don't even ask anymore. And he's at that age that I have to look and think, yes, there's a purpose for him. No matter how crazy he might drive me, God, you built him. God, he's a monument. There is something in him. I know there is. There's got to be something. What can I do to build that monument? What can I do to instill in him so he knows the word of God? So when he does ask, hey, God, Dad, what does this mean? What is this over here? I can tell him exactly what this is. I can tell him exactly what God is. I can tell him exactly why God did this. And sometimes we forget that. Children. A child is the monument that God wants us to build. The question is, are we building it? Are we making sure that when the question is asked, why is this? Are we there to answer? I think I already said this, but the proper training of children is a God-given privilege and responsibility. Folks, listen, okay? It is not Travis's responsibility to raise your child, to make sure that he knows the word. He is there to emphasize. He is there to strengthen. He is there to make sure that they understand what you already implanted in them, okay? Because, see, it's better than that your child goes and asks you, Dad, Mom, why does the Bible say this? Okay, and then you can tell and explain to them. And then Travis can come back and reinforce that. You see, it is our job to make sure that we build the monuments that God wants us to build so that with that child, when he grows up, he knows what the word of God is. There's enough of God in him. There's enough stones in him so that way when God reveals to him or her what their purpose is, they will know where to go. They will know what to do, what decisions to make, where to go for guidance and direction. We have too many kids today that have no clue where to go, no clue what direction to take because no instruction was given to them. Their monuments were never built. All we have is just one simple, shall we call it just a foundation, but that's it. There's nothing else built on top of it. There's nothing else for them to know and to be looked up to because remember, monuments are to be looked at and observed. When I go to Washington, D.C., I want to go see the Washington Monument. I want to go see it. I'm not going to go there to see the president. Not that I don't like him or dislike him. I'm not there to see the president. Chances are I'm not going to be able to. But I can go see the Jefferson Memorial. Go in and enjoy it. I can go see the other one, the Lincoln Memorial. I can go to the mall, to the Washington Memorial. I can go and see those places. Why? Because they're there to enjoy. They're there to look at. They're there to admire. They are there to wonder. And the same thing is with our children. If we built a monument like it should be built by putting the stones where they need to be, then the world can see what that monument is that God built. Not that we built, but that God built. And so when they perform, or should I say, when they do what God's calling them to do, then the whole purpose of the monument is to direct them to one place. It's to God. That was the whole purpose. And that was just the first monument we talked about. We haven't even gotten to the second monument that Joshua was talking about, where we're taking those 12 stones. And in just verse 19 through 22, well, he says, okay, guys, come you 12. Let's grab stones. But I want you to put them over here now. If you remember what we read was a place called what? Gilgal. This was going to be the headquarters of the army of Israel. This was the place where they were going to prepare themselves to go invade into the promised land. The word Gilgal, according to commentaries, meant this. I got to read it to you because it's very interesting what it means. If I can find it. They camped in Gilgal, which means rolling away. Now remember, they've been out in the wilderness for 40 days going around in circles like a merry-go-round. And God just told them, okay, you're going over to Jordan and getting ready to go into the promised land. You see, the shame of the captivity is over, okay? That's over. Now you're getting ready to jump into the promised land. Now you're getting ready to fight some battles that I'm going to help you win. So I want you to build this monument right here. Take those 12 stones, put them up there, so that way when your children ask, why is this here? You can tell them, this is exactly why this is here. Because God took us from the Red Sea. Now we are here at Gilgal. And now we are getting ready to go into the promised land. We just crossed the Jordan River. And God is going to give us victory. Why are these stones here? Listen to me. These stones can represent a lot of things. As we build the child, as we're taking the monument that God wants us to build, don't get down and out if your child is not serving God right now. Because let me tell you something. Each stone represents something that you've imparted in him already. The first one could be memories. Do you remember the time that you told him how God moved? Perhaps God healed you and you told your child, I had this, but God healed me. Or maybe you told your child, because we are careful not to tell our children a lot of things, because we don't want to scare them. But maybe you told your child, you know what, we didn't have no food to eat, but God provided. You know what, we didn't have rent to pay this month, but God provided. See, that's a stone, okay, of memories that has built in their heart. And they can never depart from that. That's another foundation, that's another monument that you put on there in their heart. Because when the time comes when they're in the same situation, they will remember. I remember mama telling me how she had cancer. Or I remember how mama telling me how she had this and she had that. And God healed them. Now I'm sick. Now I got something. I can go to God. Because why? Because mama told me. Because daddy told me that if God can heal them, he can heal me. So you see, that's our point of this whole thing. Is for us to tell our children what God can do. So that way when they come time for them to experience God on themselves, they know. They know. Another stone that possibly you have placed on them that you might even think, nah, they weren't listening. There's no possible way. Promises. Promises. The Bible is full of promises. God's promised us a lot of things. God promised you and I a lot of things. When is the last time that when God came through that you told your child, you know what? God promised me this. Do you remember? Do you remember in the Bible? Was it Hannah, I believe? Correct me if I'm wrong. Hannah, I believe, was the one who prayed, God, if you give me a child. She prayed. God promised that she would have a child. She had a child. What child was that? A prophet, nonetheless. See, and everybody knew. Why? Because everybody saw the evidence of that prayer. When is the last time that you told your child about a promise and you saw it come to pass? And when they see that, when they hear that, they can say, well, you know what? I know mama's made promises and she broke them. I know grandma and grandpa have made promises and they broke them. But it seems to me like God makes promises and he never breaks them. So I guess I can go to him and see what God has promised me. Doesn't mean we got to be selfish, but the book, the Bible, is full of promises that God has given us. It's time for our children to know what those promises are. We cannot be selfish and just keep it to myself, just me and we three. Man, this thing was supposed to be shared. And how can we do such an injustice to our own children if we don't share what God has given us? We're so easily ready, willing, and quick to share gossip. Quick to share what so-and-so is wearing. Quick to share what somebody just bought a new car, bought a new house, this and that. And we do that in jest, in joy, or in just spite. But when it comes to the things of God, oh no, they're just too young to know that. Really? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how much a child can learn, can take, can understand. Do you think when I started doing children's church over there, at one point I said, you know what? I don't think they're going to understand communion. Nah, I don't think they're going to understand the Holy Ghost. You're wrong, buddy. I tell you that you're wrong, because as soon as I made up my mind to teach the communion, they understood what it was all about. They know what it's all about. They know about the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Because every time we go to camp, they let the Holy Ghost flow. You might not see it here too often. I know this. Children will do a lot more when there's no adults around. So don't be surprised. Don't underestimate the intelligence of a child when you try to explain these things that are of God. And there's some promises that God made. Have you shared them? Have you placed that stone on the monument? How about victories? When's the last time you had a victory and you shared with your child? I don't know about you, but when I watch the movie Rockies, all 7, 8 of them, however many they are, the victory was shared by everyone. Even the one in the last, I think the one prior to the last one where he fought in the street. Victory was shared by everyone. Everybody knew he won. Why? Because it was exposed. It was told. It was there to see. When is the last time we told our victories to our children to build a monument so that way one day when they're down and out, they can realize, you know what? God can win for me too. God is on my side. I saw that he did victories for mom. I saw that he did victories for grandma. He can do a victory for me. These are the stones that we need to place in our monuments. And I'm sure there's a lot more. I wasn't about to come up with 12, only because I couldn't find 12 stones that big. But if nothing else, this last stone, heritage. Heritage. Now, it is great to know the heritage where you came from. It really is. You know, if your family came over from the Mayflower and they settled here and settled there and they came down over there and went over there, it is good to know your ancestry. But do they know their spiritual ancestry? Do they know their spiritual heritage? Do they know that great-great-grandma was the first one to get saved and then that's when trickle-down effect became? Do they know things like that? Or it's just, eh, I don't know, but I've been in this country long enough to know that heritage is a big thing. Especially nowadays when you have internet, then you can look up your ancestry and know who did that and who came in the Mayflower and who came in Staten Island and all this stuff. Well, you know what? It would be good to know that 50, 100, 200 years from now, if Jesus was to tarry and my kids have kids and so on and so forth, that they can say, you know what? Great, 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 great grandfather Gonzo was the first one who got saved in the family and the trickle down effect started. Or is it going to be lost in translation? Why? Why? Because maybe I didn't tell my children, hey, yes, I came from Venezuela, but guess what? I also came and was born again in Jesus Christ. Folks, I know I've been jumping around like a Tasmanian devil, and I probably have made no sense whatsoever. That's all right, I get that from my wife all the time, and I speak in English. Same thing with my kids. But know this. Joshua made those statements because there's going to come a time where our children are going to ask, what is this? What do those stones mean? And guess what? The monument we're talking about today is our children. And there are stones that need to be built in our children so that when people look and see, what do those stones mean? This is exactly what those stones mean. So when that child is grown up and he's an adult and is doing what God has called him to do, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, plain and simple, when they see that child, that the hand of the Lord is upon them. Doesn't look like it right now. It makes no difference. Mama, daddy, granny, grandpa, they built stones. One day you'll see that monument be what it's supposed to be. Right now it might not look like nothing. Right now it may be dirty. Right now it might be water covering it. But one day you're going to see the purpose of that monument. It's to look up. It's to see what God can do. Remember why monuments were built. It's for us to look at, to admire, to look forward to the future. And that's what we're looking for, to the future. These monuments that God wants us to build, that God is requiring us to build, that mandates us to build, is for in the future God will use them so that a purpose will be fulfilled. And what a shame. What a shame it would be if we don't build that monument according to the Word of God, not according to how we think, not according to what we think or what we think God should do. It's according to what the Word of God has for that child or for that person. I've always told my kids flat out, I'm not going to tell you God called you to do, to preach, to do this, to do that. All I'm telling you is God's called you to do something. And whatever that something is, you just go do it. Make sure you do it. Okay? Because there's nothing worse than trying to tell a child something he's not. God made each child different. Made us all different to do certain things, different things. But as adults, let's remember our monument. Let's remember what God has brought us here for. So when the question is asked, what are those stones? I'll tell you what those stones are. That's my child that God has raised up. He may not look it right now. He's not serving God right now, but he's a monument. I built that monument. And one day, God's going to come through. That promise is there. That victory is there. You got to stand on that word. And when you stand on that word, it's going to come a time when that child is going to look at you and ask. And say, you know what? I understand now. Now I know what the sign is for. Now I know what you meant. Don't get down and out, church. Don't get condemned, because if you haven't built, it's still not too late. That's one thing that I learned even recently. Because one thing that I'm guilty of is dwelling on mistakes that I can't do nothing about. But then I learned something real fast, real quick, that I heard a preacher, I think it was a preacher, say, there's still time to do things now. Don't worry about what's done. Okay? Build the monument. There's other stones you can put on there. There's other stones that you can put in there. And just stand on the word, stand on the promise of God, and eventually you'll see. When the monument is erected and built up, then the purpose of God will be fulfilled. Amen? Let's stand. Church, I hope I encouraged you somehow. Okay? I really do. I've been saved long enough and preaching long enough to know that God will not return his word void. But I just want you to understand, okay? Because maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you've had some condemnation. Maybe you thought, you know what? I didn't do enough. Okay, maybe you just recently now saved and you never raised your child in church. That's okay. You can still build a monument. It's never too late to build the monument. It's never too late to set those stones up in place. It's what you're going to do going forward. What are you going to do going forward? And maybe tonight you say, you know, I can't believe, you know, he's never going to get saved. He's never going to do this. Don't say that. Don't say that. If you built your monument, you're just going to have to wait a little bit. You're just going to have to wait till God does his part. That's the part we don't like. We want God to do things yesterday, right? We all have a microwave at home, and we probably use it to cook popcorn instead of getting the kettle out and doing, you know, kettle corn the old-fashioned way. It takes longer, but it tastes a lot better. Well, sometimes you got to let God do a little kettle cooking in here for a while. And when he does, just like kettle corn tastes a lot better than popcorn in the microwave, the victory will be a whole lot sweeter when God's in it. If you're here tonight and this word has touched you some way, somehow, and you need prayer, God, help me to be able to move forward. Not to be condemned anymore, but to move forward so that I can do what you've called me to do, which was build that monument. Set stones into place. If the life team would come and be ready at the altars, and if you're that individual here today that need prayer to help God, to God help you to move forward so that you can do what God's called you to do, which is to build that monument, I encourage you to come and be prayed for. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. So you're not sure how to really do this. You're not sure how to take, you know, how to help a child learn about God. Well, let's first take care of you first. And maybe you don't have Jesus living in your heart. You haven't given, you haven't let him build the monument in you first before you can build another one. If that's you here with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, we're not going to pull you out. We're not going to call your name or embarrass you in any way. But it just lets us know to pray. If you're here today and you're that person, I say, yes, preacher, I want God to touch me, to help me. Help build my monument first, to forgive me of my sins. Is that you? Just by raise a hand. By raise a hand, I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Praise God. Well, this is a simple thing to do for those of you who raise your hand. If you just repeat this simple prayer, and just like I tell the children, because anybody can repeat anything, I told the children, as you repeat this prayer, let it come from your heart because you're talking to God now. And as a simple prayer, as repeat after me, it said, Lord, I thank you for loving me. And I pray, touch my heart. And forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to build that monument in my heart for you so that I can build others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.